from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I wouldn't say feel nothing. I got a job to do. Come in, make plays, and help us win. So I'm just eager to do that every day.
Keon Coleman, Bills rookie wide receiver, of course, looking for preseason game number 2. We'll see if he gets more usage. Okay, now, IR might mean he's out for the season. 2 are allowed to return, only if placed on IR at the final cuts. So, that might mean that
if Chase... If we place on IR at the final cuts.
Yeah, Sal's looking into it. Because we had somebody say, if you get put on IR now, it might even mean that your season is over. So, if that's the case for Chase Claypool, well, he didn't get cut.
He didn't get cut. Our bet up there, we have 2 contradicting things. It's Bills wide receivers to make the team. I don't feel like him being on IR means he made the team. He won't be part of the 53.
But he didn't get cut.
But then my part of the bet says that any of the 6 get cut. He's also not getting cut.
Right. We'll have to take it to an...
MVS getting cut would make all this a lot easier.
Right. Otherwise, we'll just avoid the bet. Matt Waldman joins us on the Wester Hotline. He of the rookie scouting portfolio. Had him on before. I feel like, Matt, we talked a lot going back to the Josh Allen draft year and watching him come out of college. We were, obsessed with all those quarterbacks. And here we are. Many years later, Allen has shined up quite nicely, and now we're looking at a rookie receiver and talking to you about Keon Coleman. Thanks for taking some time this morning, Matt.
Yeah, man, my pleasure.
So you wrote a big, long piece about Coleman and sent it out again yesterday. It caught my eye. I made a point to read it. And I found it really interesting because you were talking about not only Coleman's skill set, but not even just the offense to put him in, but the type of quarterback that you think would best fit Coleman. So as you were writing this up and you ultimately find out his landing spot is Buffalo, how did you like it as a spot, and where are the Bills in terms of what they can do with Keon Coleman?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good spot for him, mainly because when you have Keon Coleman's the best pass catcher in contested situations of any wide receiver in this draft class. And so when you have a quarterback who leans on his athletic ability sometimes to a fault, that means that he's got stone cold confidence in his receivers to go up and make plays. And Coleman's a great complement for a quarterback of that nature. But also, some of the things where Allen has really developed well and showed signs of that when he was at Wyoming and then continued to build on it was the ability to anticipate and throw with anticipation and be confident enough to hit those second or third options with a level of anticipation. And Coleman's the type of receiver that people often really didn't understand his game because of the fact that maybe he wasn't a classic speedster with great acceleration, but he's a player that does get open with good route skills. And so if he's going to be that receiver in the, as the second or third guy in the progression, he's going to get open, but it's going to be a tighter window, especially in the NFL, as is the case. And Allen's the type of quarterback, has enough skill to be able to hit a player with that level of route running. And then on top of it, he's a very good player after the catch. I mean, this guy returned punts at Florida State. You don't return punts unless you're very skilled in traffic, efficient with your movement, quick, and someone who understands how to work through contact. And he averaged 12 yards per punt return at Florida State, which is a pretty respectable number. And, you know, I've always joked, you know, like a lot of people didn't like LeGarrette Blount, the Patriots running back, coming out of school because they thought he was big and slow. And you'd hear a lot of NFL analysts who don't really scout the game talk about how slow he is because they just look at 40 times. But LeGarrette Blount was a very nuanced runner with a great short area quickness, and short area quickness that you see maybe in a three cone or a 20 shuttle with the initial acceleration is a lot more valuable to football than a 40 time or even a 10-yard split off of a sprinter start. And Keon Coleman, I joke around, is kind of going to be that LeGarrette Blount of wide receivers where people, you know, superficially talk about his athletic ability and show their ignorance on that level.
Some of your comps included, like, the spectrum, Anquan Boldin, Mike Williams, like that's body type kind of guy, physical receiver, the ability to kind of bully at the catch point, and you know, as you say, his contested catch ability is tremendous. Do you feel like looking back on this draft, Matt, we were very, very dialed into the idea of receiver for the Bills. We thought they needed one before they traded Stephon Diggs. You know, they trade Diggs, and it becomes a glaring hole. And a lot of the big view of the draft class was that guys at the top are the guys with number one potential, and the rest have ability, but maybe it's specific roles. Do you think that that is correct, that Coleman will have a very important role and can be a very big contributor, but the idea that he's going to blossom into number one, is there any part of the spectrum there that you think exists?
Oh, yeah, it absolutely exists because you have to understand the type of offense that the player is going to be in, because I don't think any of those same people who gave that kind of assessment to Keon Coleman probably gave anywhere near the same assessment of they probably gave a very similar assessment to Amon-Ra St. Brown in Detroit's offense. I don't think anybody looked at him and said, that's going to be a stone-cold, you know, number three receiver overall in the league in terms of, you know, production, as an, you know, and be like one of the top receivers in the league. I think people thought he was good and he could have a role. Or a Michael Thomas, you know, when he was with the Saints. I mean, a lot of it is about fit with an offense. And so, you know, Coleman can be that outside guy on contested routes and get enough opportunities also in the red zone to win targets at the boundary and occasionally win off play action and beat people deep. But he's also a guy who could kind of work inside and be almost like a big slot who leads the way in the same way that even like a Michael Crabtree did a number of years ago in Greg Roman's offense in San Francisco before you guys unfortunately had the Roman-Ryan combination for a little while, but didn't really have a receiver beyond Watkins, and Watkins wasn't all that reliable, unfortunately, for all his talent. But you look at Coleman, and he certainly has a potential fit here. And I thought this was one of the most talent-rich classes since that Sammy Watkins, Mike Evans, Odell Beckham, you know, class of 2014. So there were more than just four guys in this class. There were, you know, in terms of guys that I graded, you know, this was a report that I did pre-draft in April that I shared a sample of from my rookie scouting portfolio, which, you know, I've been doing for heading towards 20 years of this. You know, this was probably one of the richer classes that I've studied in terms of potential. Obviously, potential doesn't always equal reality, but with the fit he has and the way that the Bills are going to condense looks, play heavy sets, try and create matchups where the receivers have a, you know, are going to be able to earn different types of matchups, and it's about distributing the ball. Early on, Keon Coleman is going to show up and probably be the wide receiver one on this team. But I think that as the he evolves, the offense evolves, and Allen kind of gets a better feel for, you know, where he's going to be distributed and where you can take advantage of different looks, Coleman certainly is a candidate to elevate to that status, because a lot of the skills are there, even if the blinding speed and acceleration combination isn't tops among, you know, guys in this draft class. But people overemphasize speed. I joke that speed is kind of the cleavage of NFL decision makers and media. They see that and they lose their minds. And a certain level of speed is good enough. It's a baseline. More of it doesn't necessarily mean better if you don't have the accompanying skills.
Right. Yeah, like hearing you talk about Coleman and like the types of ways he can win, do you almost feel like he could be someone that will bloom later as the season goes on? Because if we're talking about like contested catch stuff on the outside and, you know, big slot too, like especially if he's not open on some of these plays, it'll probably take time for Allen to trust him in those situations, or maybe not, right? Like if he starts flashing early in those ways, I guess how often, how reliant do you think he is on those contested targets on the outside? And is that even okay if he is relying on it because he's so good at it?
Oh, he's excellent at it. But I think the big issue is really it's incumbent upon your quarterback. And as good as Josh Allen has been, it still requires a level of rapport to trust that. And the Bills have been notoriously cautious with how they use their rookies and how they target, how, you know, especially their skill players. You look at James Cook 2 years ago, you look at Dalton Kincaid last year, where he was just basically a flat route king, and you had one of the best contested catch tight ends coming out in the draft who was a seam stretcher and a jump ball winner. You had Khalil Shakir earlier, where, you know, Shakir was a guy I really liked. And you'd see Josh Allen target him in the middle of the field between two defenders in zone, and he'd go up and win it. But it seemed like the staff and the media were talking about how he dropped some balls in practice. But you look at what he's done whenever he's been on the field. He didn't drop a lot of balls on the field. He was quite reliable, but they were cautious about how they were using him. And I think that that's just a consistent theme with how the Bills are with rookies. They're a little conservative on that end, and that's okay. You know, they've got a good team, and they're contending, and they don't want to lose games or lose possessions because they have a young player that they have a luxury to be able to use, and there's a lot of upside there, but they don't want to create scenarios where there's mistakes that cost them games. And I think that Coleman is probably in that situation for the Bills this year. And if he continues to grow into it, that's fine. But, you know, they're going to roll with Shakir and Samuel, and you're going to see, Kincaid probably be one of your leading receivers out of these condensed sets that you see with, like, the 49ers and the Lions and the like with that. You know, you look at, the Bills cover one side. I did a long article on deep dive into Dalton Kincaid and how they're going to be used, and credited and cited some of the work that Eric Turner and the Cover One guys do, and and talking about those sets, and they're dead on about what you'll likely see. And I think that that's, you know, with Coleman, you'll probably see him get situational usage, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to get those targets. And Allen's going to have to develop that rapport, especially in the scramble drill. You know, and that's where he and Kincaid needed time. And Kincaid was even saying this spring, it's still a work in progress for us, you know, because that rapport doesn't come instantly most of the time.
Matt Waldman, rookie scouting portfolio on some Bills players, on Keon Coleman. You mentioned Kincaid there, and, you know, the tighter, the condensed sets. You know, the Bills, when Josh Allen started, played a lot of three receivers, a lot of spread, sometimes even four receivers out there in empty set.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And it was just, Allen was a point guard, and it was wide open. And now we've seen a bit of a change. How much do you think the league has changed the way they play these quarterbacks, these top-tier quarterbacks, drives that? And does it translate – it seems like a ridiculous question to say, like, does it translate well to Allen's skill set? But, you know, it is definitely a different kind of offense that he's been in years past. It's been drifting this way. I wonder your thoughts on it as an idea going forward for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think for Allen, when you start with his development – the Bills did a great job with that because he certainly had all the flashy physical skills and some of the technical skills that you want from a top prospect. But they were they did a great job of looking at him and saying, look, you're not a finished product. We're going to spread the field so that there are a lot of big rushing lanes for you to access. And if you don't see, you don't even see your second read, or you're not confident about your second read, just run year one. And then they kind of evolved everything to kind of create looks where his receivers were running through multiple coverage lanes within one route so that Allen could break the pocket and find the target easier rather than having some of these timing routes that just terminate with a break back to the quarterback or to the boundary, and then they have to reroute, and then that rapport gets fuzzy, especially with how many times Allen can sometimes reverse field and spin around and lose the cover, lose, you know, his eyes downfield and have to regain them. So when he knows that a guy's just breaking across the field, he has more opportunities. I'm not, you know, that's more complementary to his style of play, and he does, and he worked very well with it. I think what you're going to see here with the condensed looks is you're going to see easier matchups where you're going to get, you know, linebackers and safeties on players who are more athletic. Sometimes even defensive ends are forced to have to cover with these types of looks. You know, you're going to see more option routes in the middle of the field that benefit your athletic receivers, getting guys to catch the ball on the move still, but also you're giving these receivers more room from their starting point tight to the formation to the boundary out in space. And that a lot, you know, so you're creating space. It's just created in a different way. I think the biggest adjustment will now be, you know, with Diggs leaving, that the aim of this offense since the second half of the season last year is to distribute the ball a little bit more equitably rather than lean on one guy. And we'll see if that evolves again once they find a guy to lean on who maybe proves that he can be that. But right now, I think it's more about will Allen, you know, make some of those trust throws to players that maybe aren't at Stephon Diggs' level. And that may be the adjustment for Allen that might lead to some minor hiccups.
Yeah. Doesn't it feel like that already kind of happened second half of last year with a guy that I know, you know, hearing you for years, you've been big on Khalil Shakir since his days in college. I mean, he started to see the target share go up at the end of last year. I mean, I don't think, Matt, he's going to lead the NFL in yards per target again, but I have to think his volume is going up because him and Allen looked like that trust had started to grow as the season went on.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what you're going to see. I always kind of compared Khalil Shakir to a faster Hines Ward, you know, kind of a workman-like player who can make the tough plays, give you yards after the catch, and run pretty good routes within a spectrum of the route tree where maybe he's not your top one-on-one producer, but he can win contested plays and be tough about it. And I think that, you know, he and, you know, Samuels are probably similar types of players, and that kind of also gives you an indication of what Joe Brady and the offense were looking for, is that they are looking for players who can be a little bit of the running back in open space, who can be tough at the catch point, and who can work with their quarterback you know, on scramble drills and continue to work their ways open. And they're not maybe big plodding guys who maybe get worn out a little bit from having to do a lot of that type of thing, because, you know, Allen oftentimes is prone to the, you know, forced to scramble, and he's very good at being able to keep plays alive that other guys would be sacked. So, you know, that enhances the amount of targets they're going to get where they're going to have to work themselves free and create on the, you know, past the structure of the play. So, yeah, I mean, I think Shakir could be the number two target winner in this offense possibly, but I'd say the safe bet is probably the number three guy.
Two more quick things for you, Matt, if you would. Thoughts on Bills rookie running back Ray Davis?
Davis is fun. You know, as everyone's seen right now, he's a stout, powerful back who has some good quickness to him. I think he's a good runner between the tackles. He could give you a red zone presence if you want to use him in that deep red zone area. He's someone that I think catches the ball reasonably well. His pass protection is something that's going to be put to the test. If the Bills show that they trust him early, like, say, the Titans trusted, Spears, Tajay Spears last year in New Orleans, week one, and having him blocking defensive ends and doing that kind of thing, you know he's done well in camp and he's really turned a corner. But I doubt very seriously because Spears was good at that. I think that this is the weakness of Ray Davis's game, which may hold him back to a situational role unless they're desperate for due to an injury. And I think that at this stage, though, he could grow into a fine complement or even the lead back if he really hammers down the pass blocking.
One more. We ask about this player because, well, the Bills are tied to him. Were you a Xavier Worthy fan, and how do you like that fit for Kansas City? They trade up with the Bills and snag the guy that they want. Not everybody would have liked him, of course. How did you scout grade Worthy and the landing spot as well?
Sure. You know, I thought the first 6 to 7 receivers in this class would have been tier one in several of the classes prior. And Coleman was my number 6 receiver. Worthy was my number 4 receiver. But again, when you look at linear grades, they can be misleading because it's about fit. Would Worthy have fit with this team? Absolutely, because he gives you a lot of what Shakir and Samuel will provide, but with a lot more, even more speed. He's kind of, I compared him to DeSean Jackson because he's tougher at the catch point and in the middle of the field than people would realize. He's a pretty good route runner already. He has some drops, but the technique and the process that he uses to catch the football is pretty sound. And he makes a lot more big plays in terms of difficult catches than a guy who has a profile of, you know, serial dropping the football. So looking at him, I think he was a better fit in Kansas City than what the Bills are looking for. And, you know, the Bills want to have different, it's like having different types of golf clubs in your bag, you know, and they had the, they already had the type of players that fit what Xavier Worthy is. And Coleman's a type of player that offers him a different dimension and gives Josh Allen the confidence to throw some balls up there. Because if there's a receiver that I joke that if there's a receiver that you could win money basically by in a contest where you'd say there's a brick wall and the receiver has to somehow get around over or through this brick wall to catch a football, the only player I probably would make a remote bet on in this class would have been Keon Coleman.
All right.
And so, you know, this is a, I think that they made the right choice with Coleman.
Matt Harmon, rookie scouting portfolio.
Waldman.
Sorry, Matt Waldman. I did that
he
five times.
He can't say off reception perception.
Listen, you're not the only one. Earlier this week, I did Charles McDonald, Charles Robinson. I'm getting old, Matt. I do this.
He's
make mistakes.
The old guy in the show.
I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I know all those guys, and he's my nephew.
Okay.
I'll tell you that.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Matt. Matt Waldman, rookie scouting portfolio. Always a pleasure, Matt.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Hey, listen, if I do it more and more, then...
then it just becomes a running bit.
Yeah, that's like a thing I do. It's like a Levitard show, right? Like,
yes.
Somebody on Dan Levitard's show does something like this, and they're like, "Oh, you're the guy that gets everybody's last name wrong all the time,
yeah,
confusing them for someone else."
Yep. Yeah, we need like a buzzer. We need a buzzer.
He did it again.
Or
like,
sound.
Yeah, yeah, get a sound effect like balloons drop, horns go. Like he did it again.
And like a what are the like the siren that you would hear go off?
Yeah.
Like in a nuclear fallout like type of siren. That's what we need.
So Chase Claypool's season is over.
Yes.
All right.
I think we should leave the bet. The more I think about it, the more we should leave the bet.
Okay, fine.
Because I might win it anyway with MVS.
I think you are in trouble.
I don't think MVS should be on this 53-man roster.
Okay, but Claypool had a shot.
Yeah.
And who's the Claypool type? KJ Hamler?
Like, no.
Who's happy today about
Shavers?
Shavers?
I need Shavers.
Okay, ready? Yeah. Shavers makes the team. That's Shakir, Samuel, Coleman, Hollins, Shavers. Are they only going with five?
Then I'm going to need a return guy to make it two. And I need that return guy to be a receiver. Okay. If it's Daquan Hardy, then I think I'm in trouble. Then I think I'm done.
I think you're in trouble to begin with. I think you're in trouble.
I think my path to victory,
this is like
which
the,
I kind of like
it's like
right
the
now.
Electoral College.
Yeah. My path to victory, Samuel, Shakir, Coleman, Hollins. So those four are in.
Yep.
You've got Claypool, we're putting on, an MVS to get to a room that doesn't include him. I need Shavers to beat him out as the depth X receiver guy, tall, that plays special teams also. And then I need a receiver to make the team based on his return ability. And that's got to be Hamler or Isabella, I'm out.
As you
or Damir Bird potentially. Imagine if I win this with Damir Bird.
Be great.
Showing up at the buzzer.
I think Shavers is going to make it because of the consistency. He's consistent. If there's one thing MVS is not, it's consistent. Actually, wait a minute. Maybe he is. He consistently drops the ball. But consistency.
But then if I get a receiver that makes it as a return man, it's Shavers versus MVS, isn't it? If a receiver is a returner, then it's Shavers versus MVS for the last spot.
Yep. And who's Josh tight with? That would be
Shavers. Get him a fruit
basket.
That
would be
get
a moment.
A
that wouldn't
edible arrangements.
Would it be too far to say that's a moment where we know being tight with the quarterback is more important than performance at camp? Would that not be true? It'd be tough to argue.
It could be money also.
Okay.
I don't tend to think it's enough for that to be the sole reason. No, it would make it.
It'd be tough to argue.
Can I get Tyrell Shavers out on the golf course a little bit?
803-0550.
Get some common ground with Josh.
Jim, thanks for waiting. Josh is going to kill me, so we have to bring you back on the other side. Or Josh will kill me, so blame Josh. Jim in Rochester on the other side. And I had something else I was going to get. What was it? It's really great, whatever it is. Stay tuned.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.